It's award season in the entertainment industry, and as streaming services continue to grab nominations and awards for their movies and TV shows, it's obvious the rules are changing. And despite yet another year of male-heavy nominations, women are emerging as some of the biggest stars of the new platforms, especially in comedy, which hasn't always been the most female-friendly industry. My co-host Audie Cornish has been talking to women navigating the male-dominated world of comedy.
These six women are so different in backgrounds, stories, styles, but a common thread among them was finding their own voice in a world that on some level tried to silence them. They were told they didn't belong. For instance, Margaret Cho spoke about what it was like early in her career.
This is the very early 90s. We were in this sort of comedy is an observational art form, but the observer is cis, hetero, white men. So you had to sort of try to be that.
I spoke to her and five other women about this moment, a moment some are calling a golden age of comedy. They're veterans and newcomers, Nicole Byer, Aparna Nancherla, Jenny Slate, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Hannah Gadsby. I asked them to deconstruct their craft, how they write jokes, what they find funny. But in their answers, they ended up deconstructing themselves, how they fit into the comedy world. Here's Margaret Cho again.
Growing up, like, I never saw Asian Americans on television. And if I did, it was so far removed from the center of the action. You know, it was always like sort of the background of MASH.
Coupling that with being a woman in comedy, she says she felt invisible.
I think when you are dealing with being kind of ignored by media and movies and television, it's really hard to even talk about it, to have the words to talk about it, because you don't even know that you're invisible. So it's a very strange place to be in.
Another person who could relate to that, Hannah Gadsby.
If you're a funny woman, the world's not necessarily easy for you to navigate. Men being funny is something that culturally we accept and like. Women, it's a much more of a high wire act.
In what way? What do you think?
Well, I think men find it quite threatening. As a rule, I'm speaking very broadly, but also I've got a lot to back that up with.
Newcomer Nicole Byer hit that gendered wall while trying to talk about her body and her self-image on stage.
I spent like 6 months trying to work out fat material, because you'll get on a stage and you'll go, I'm fat. And then people will go, no, you're beautiful. And you're like, one, the two aren't mutually exclusive. Two, I am fat. Like, why are you lying to my face? Like, I know it. The mirror knows it. People on the street know. It's fine. So I was just like really racking my brain outside the improv. I had just done a show. And I was like, these fat jokes aren't working. I feel like a dude can get on stage and say the same thing. And everyone goes, ha, ha, ha. It's because he's fat. People do not feel bad for men. Men get to be self-deprecating. Men honestly get to say whatever they please. And everyone's like, okay. And women truly at every turn get criticized.
Speaking of dealing with criticism, Jenny Slate and Julia Louis-Dreyfus both got their start as cast members on Saturday Night Live. And yet they shared similar feelings about the opportunities there for funny women, even though Slate joined the show decades after Louis-Dreyfus. As a massive comedic platform, SNL's atmosphere seemed to speak to the struggle of female comics in general. Here's how Slate described her experience.
Feeling dressed down, feeling shamed, feeling like you shouldn't have tried, those are all pressures that are like encouraged in a misogynist environment, where there's not an openness, there's not a sense that power can present in a way that represents like plurality, that there are many, many different ways to access power.
And when you're on the world's biggest comedy platforms, that question of power, it's inescapable. Julia Louis-Dreyfus spoke about years of Me Too moments and how they actually informed her work.
It's fueled me. It was very important to me to, I don't know what, prove myself, I guess. I just want to do my work well with people that I really enjoy, men and women.
What I realized was that so many of these women, instead of quitting and letting the social barriers defeat them, turned comedy into a way to process trauma. Whether it was losing a dream job, a loved one, an identity, they wrote jokes to communicate their pain. Here's Aparna Nacherla.
Sadness and laughter to me feel linked in a weird way, in that it almost feels like once you get to the logical end of one, you sort of start entering the other one. And I feel like comedy is sort of questioning things with adding like a little dose of hope, in that you're taking the air out of it a little bit, and you're not just being like, well, I guess that's just how things are. Like, you're sort of like, this is ridiculous. Like, let's laugh about it. So it adds that levity to take some of the burden off.
And Nicole Byer said comedy was a life raft after her parents died.
Doing comedy truly helped me through that, because I didn't have to be me. I can go on stage and be like, I'm an elephant, or whatever. I'm making fun of improv, but I truly have a show tonight at 9:30 where I'm going to do improv.
And their audiences arrived not just to laugh, but to see themselves on stage. Though women may have been outsiders in this industry, it turns out comedy was meant for outsiders. Of course, the critics showed up too. Hannah Gadsby, for example, got backlash for her breakout stand-up special, Nanette. Some claimed it didn't follow the rules of comedy. Here's how she feels about those rules.
If they no longer make sense, I don't mind breaking them.
And because comedy exists to question social norms, Gadsby says women's voices aren't just welcome. They're necessary.
I think it's a good thing for comedians to be reminded that that's what comedy is. It's being an outsider. So if you're getting worried that comedy is so delicate that people can't question it, then harden up.
And it's that mantra that's forcing a change in the landscape. There's a long way to go for diversity, but things have changed a lot since that first season of SNL, or even a few years ago. Nicole Byer says it's important for women to remember that no one is doing them a favor by letting them talk.
I'm past being like, oh, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm like, well, I'm funny. That's why I'm here. So I just do my job.
And they never forget what that job is, to inject joy into an ugly world. Jenny Slate says she refuses to let her past struggles dent her special brand of silliness.
What is lovely is that no one can ever take away the dream. All of the wishing in my childhood to be on that show, and nothing will ever dim the lights of that experience, which was like getting the job, like leaving 30 Rock, calling my parents and saying I am going to be on Saturday Night Live. That is what it is. It's such a beautiful achievement, and it's real, and I did it. But it's also the same as like thinking you really met your soulmate and going on like the fourth date and being like, did they just say library? I mean, like, ugh.
Because that dream eventually gives way to reality. Show business is flawed. So are its stars, which might sound like a simple concept. But the idea that women get to be flawed in public, it's a big step. And it's really, really funny.